Today we are reading from Canto 12, Chapter 3. Chapter 3 is entitled the Bhumi Gita, and today we are going to discuss text 44. Yan namadeyam niyamana atura patan skalan va vivasho grinan puman vimukta karmargala uttamam gatim prapnoti yakshyanti na tam kalo jana yam namadeyam riyamana aturaha. Yanyamadeyam riyamana aturaha. Patan skalan va vivasho grinan puman. Patan skalan va vivasho grinan puman. Vimukta karmargala uttamam gatim. Vimukta karmargala uttamam gatim. Prapnoti yakshyanti natam kalojana. Prapnoti yakshyanti natam kalojana. Yat, whose, namadeyam, name, mriyamanaha. A person who is dying. Atura, distressed. Patan, collapsing. Skhalan, voice faltering. Va, or, vivashaha, helplessly. Grinan, chanting. Puman, a person. Vimukta, freed. Karma, a fruit of work. Argalaha, from the chains. Uttamam, the topmost. Gatim, destination. Rapnoti, achieves. Yakshyanti na, they do not worship. Tam, him, the personality of Godhead. Kalo, in the age of Kali. Jana, people. Translation. Terrified, about to die, a man collapses on his bed. Although his voice is faltering and he is hardly conscious of what he is saying, if he utters the holy name of the Supreme Lord, he can be freed from the reaction of his fruitive work and achieve the supreme destination. But still, people in the age of Kali will not worship the Supreme Lord. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. It's a one-liner purport. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make him drink. Om Ajnana Tivarandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam karoti vachalam pangulangayate girim yatkripatamaham vande shri guru dinatarinam vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shri vasadi gaurabhakta vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, in this chapter, which is called as Bhumi Gita, we see in the beginning of the chapter that Mother Earth is recounting how so many kings on her surface try to conquer the land. Many kings try to conquer Mother Earth, and now they are just historical recounts. And Mother Earth is almost laughing about it, that they all spend their lifetimes, so much of their life, in trying to conquer land from some other kings or in trying to defeat some other kings. But ultimately today they are just names in history and they have all gone away. So she's laughing that how people are spending so much time pursuing these temporary achievements in life, but actually they don't achieve it, and even if they've achieved it, it's taken away from them at the time of death. And Sukadeva Goswami then further continues his conversation with Parikshit Maharaj. And as we saw in the previous chapter as well, and in fact the whole canto is dedicated to Kali Yuga. So Sukadeva Goswami further tells Parikshit Maharaj that he talks about various aspects of Kali Yuga, that how in Kali Yuga not only the age is deteriorating, and because of that people's qualities are also deteriorating, and whatever nature has been supplying so long, everything is deteriorating. In the age of Kali, time always has a destroying factor in the material world, but in the age of Kali it is much more pronounced and everything gets destroyed quite fast. So not only here, thus we see that Parikshit Maharaj is having a conversation with Sukadeva Goswami, and Sukadeva Goswami has been predicting. In fact, this canto was, all the cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam were spoken when Parikshit Maharaj was about to leave the planet. So that means Kali Yuga had not even started. It was at the end of Dwapar Yuga that this conversation is taking place. But even at that time, Sukadeva Goswami is predicting whatever will happen in Kali Yuga and whatever, how the age will deteriorate. And we see that how most of the predictions are coming true. We are seeing that in today's Kali Yuga, that whatever has been said in the Bhagavatam is actually happening right now. And here we are towards the end of the Bhagavatam almost, like we are on the 12th canto, which is the last canto of Bhagavatam. But as early as the first canto, Kali Yuga is an iron age and is an age of deterioration, had been predicted even by Vyasadeva himself, who is the author of Bhagavatam. So in the first canto, in chapter 4, which is entitled Appearance of Narad Muni, where Narad Muni appears and comes and talks to Vyasadeva. In that chapter itself, Vyasadeva sits down in meditation. And in his meditation, he is able to see the dangers of Kali Yuga. In fact, in verse 17 and 18, it goes, the translation goes like this. The great sage, with his transcendental vision, could see the deterioration of everything material due to the influence of the age of Kali. How faithless people would be reduced in their duration of life. Like we have also been reading in this canto that Ayur Balam, everything will be reduced in Kali Yuga. And they all will be impatient due to lack of goodness. So in Kali Yuga there is very, very less mode of goodness prevalent, and even less mode of quite a bit of mode of fashion, but Kali Yuga is predominated by the mode of ignorance. And this was predicted by Vyasadeva as early as Canto 1 itself. And after this meditation, he felt compassion for the fallen people of Kali Yuga. And therefore, there was only one Veda at that time. So then he divided that one Veda into four Vedas, and he also wrote the Puranas for the fallen age of, for the fallen people of Kali Yuga. And then Narad Muni comes to him, but he was still feeling despondent. Vyasadeva was not very happy. Even though he had thought about the compassion of people and he had written down the Vedas and he had divided and he had also given the Puranas, but he was not feeling very happy about it. So then Narad Muni comes to him. Narad Muni was the spiritual master of Vyasadeva, and he comes to his disciple's rescue and he explains to him that the reason for your despondency or not being satisfied, even though you foresee the dangers of Kali Yuga and you are feeling compassion for the people of Kali Yuga, is because in your writings up till now, you have not glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead enough. And that is when he inspires Vyasadeva to write the Srimad Bhagavatam. So not only Vyasadeva, even Yudhishthir Maharaj, in Mahabharata there is a very nice pastime wherein Yudhishthir Maharaj is also able to predict that Kali Yuga is going to start. And we had mentioned this pastime in one of our earlier classes as well. So this was after the Mahabharata war was over and Yudhishthir Maharaj had already started ruling the kingdom. And Bhima was outside the palace, and Bhima was a person who was stationed outside the palace so that people who have any problems would approach Bhima, and then Bhima would try to solve their problems. So one such day when Bhima was patrolling outside the palace, one man approached Bhima, and he told him, he was actually a farmer in the kingdom, and he told Bhima that I have a field and I have put a fence to guard my field. And he said that instead of guarding my field, this fence is going to the neighboring field and eating the grains from the neighboring field. So why is my fence doing like this? He asked Bhima. And Bhima was really bewildered because he was used to solving problems like if somebody is having a fight or somebody is troubling someone, then he can go and kill the demon or he can go and solve that problem, physical problem. But he was not used to solving such questions. So he said that this is beyond me. I think we should go to Yudhishthir Maharaj. So while they were going, another man approaches Bhima. And he tells him that I have this bucket of water. And let's say that bucket of water has 10 liters of water. And he said that I had 10 jugs of 1 liter each. So when I poured this water into 1 liter of the jug, and when I poured all the jugs back into the bucket, then how much water should I get? I should get 10 liters back. But he said the bucket is half full, almost half or three-fourths full. So where did all the water go? And I did not spill any water on the ground. So again Bhima was a bit, he said, oh again this is beyond me, why today is a bad day for me? Such people are approaching me with such questions. So he said, okay, you also come, we'll go to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And then there was a third person who approaches Bhima. And he says that today while I was just walking around in the town, I saw one man threading an elephant through a needle. Usually we see threads, you know, Mataji especially make garlands, we usually thread a thread through the eye of the needle. But here he saw that he was threading an elephant through the eye of the needle. And he said the strange thing was that the entire elephant actually passed through the eye of the needle, but the tail got stuck. So he said, how is it that such a huge elephant could pass through the eye of the needle? And we know that elephant's tail is quite small and thin. So he said, how is it that the tail got stuck in the eye? So again, Bhima was a bit frustrated. He said, okay, you also come with me. We'll go to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And then they meet one more person, the fourth person. He tells Bhima that in the town there is a road and there is a huge boulder lying on the road. And I saw almost 8 to 10 heavy built people were trying to move this boulder. But they were not able to move the boulder. And then there was a sadhu, like a Vaishnava, who came around and he just waved his chadar on that boulder. And then even a tiny boy, a skinny tiny boy, could shift the boulder very easily. So he asked that how is this possible that 8 to 10 well-built people couldn't move the boulder, but when this sadhu just waved his chadar, this little skinny boy was able to move the boulder. So how is this happening? And Bhima says, there are already 3 questions which I couldn't solve. You also come with me. We'll go to Yudhishthir Maharaj. So they go to Yudhishthir Maharaj, and when Yudhishthir Maharaj hears each person's problem which they faced in the morning, Yudhishthir Maharaj was very much aggrieved. And he says, really? All these things have really started happening in my kingdom? And he says that these problems have started happening because the age of Kali is about to begin. And that is why we are seeing all these problems happening. And then Yudhishthir Maharaj explains to each of the person why that problem came. So he talks to the first person whose fence was eating the neighbor's field's grains. So he says that in Kali Yuga, people will always be dissatisfied and they will always be lamenting and hankering for more and more. So they will never, even if they have certain degree, they will be lamenting, oh, why am I not an MBA, or why am I not a doctor, or why am I not this, or why am I not a lawyer. So they will never be satisfied, or why do I have just this much bank balance, why not more, why do I have a 2000 model car, why not a 2010 model car. So they will always be hankering for more and more. And the proverb that the grass looks greener on the other side, that will be very much valid in Kali Yuga. People will always feel that they don't have enough, but others have more. And then how they should get that, what others have. So there will always be dissatisfaction and they will be envious of what others are having, because they are not satisfied with whatever the Lord has given them. And because of that, not being satisfied with whatever they have, they will try to take other people's properties or other people's possessions. And he said this is what the fence signifies, the fence eating the other person's grain. So he said the fence is not happy with whatever grains are there in its field and protecting the field. The fence is actually meant to be a protector, or rakshak as we say in Hindi. But he said in Kali Yuga, rakshak will become bhakshak. So that means a protector will actually become the exploiter. So the fence, instead of protecting its own field and being satisfied with whatever service it has to render to that field, it will go and try and eat. And that is why it's trying and eating the neighbor's field grain, because there is dissatisfaction and there is envy in the heart. And then to the second person he explained, the person who had poured water from the bucket into jugs and then back into the bucket. He said that whatever in Kali Yuga, whatever help you render to others, people will never be grateful. And you, even if you render so much help to others, you should not expect any help back from them or even anything good back from them. In fact, they might do bad to you. And we see this happening in Kali Yuga. We all experience this in our lives, that even if somebody tries to do good to someone, but the people are not grateful, and instead of being grateful, they are, you know, try to sometimes let down the person who has helped them. So he said that the quality of ungratefulness or ingratitude will be so prominent in Kali Yuga. And that is why we are seeing this happening, that although the bucket gave all the 10 liters of water to the 10 jugs, but the jugs did not respond back in the same way. They gave lesser water. So this is what will happen in Kali Yuga. People will help others, but they will not get the same help back in return. And that is the quality of ungrateful, or how gratitude will go down in Kali Yuga. Then the third example about the needle and the elephant. So he said in Kali Yuga, people will be so greedy, and they will always be steeped into sense gratification. So they will always want to spend money, huge amounts of money they will spend on their own sense gratification. They will have big endeavors, big gambling houses like Crown Casino or big cinema complexes. They will have all these huge things, so they will spend millions of dollars just for their own sense gratification. But if you go and ask them to donate for a spiritual cause, they will not do it. First of all, they will not do it, but even if they do it, they will give a very meager amount for spiritual causes, thinking that how their money will get depleted if they give it to spiritual causes. And he said that is why you saw that the elephant passed through the eye of the needle. That means that huge expenses are going through. They are not even worrying about the money being spent on their own sense gratification. But when it came to spending for spiritual causes or for the welfare of others, that is the tail which got stuck. So that they couldn't spend, that people will not spend. So greed will be very prominent in Kali Yuga. And for the fourth one, when the stone was not, the boulder was, people were not able to move the boulder. So he said that in Kali Yuga, people will be spiritually lazy. But they will be spiritually lazy, not materially lazy. Materially they will be very, very active. And that is why we see in the modern civilization, there are so many big projects coming up, which were never heard of in the bygone ages. So he said, Yudhishthira Maharaj explained that how people will be so active materially, and they will be hard work, they will endeavor so much to establish a so-called modern way of life or a so-called easy-going life for them. But when it comes to spiritual matters, they will not want to pursue any spiritual projects. And he said that is why the people were not able to move the boulder. But when a sadhu or a Vaishnava comes and he waves his chadar, and that chadar represents the Vaishnava's mercy. So when a Vaishnava comes and showers his mercy on the people of Kali Yuga, on the fallen people of Kali Yuga, then very easily they will be able to take up spiritual practices. And in that matter we can quote Srila Prabhupada's example, that how he went to the West and people were so steeped in sense gratification, they were so steeped in breaking the four regulative principles. But Prabhupada, because of Prabhupada showering his unlimited mercy on them, very easily those hippies could take up to Krishna consciousness, and today some of them are leading Maharas or leading Guru Maharas in our movement. So at this point also Yudhishthir Maharaj then predicted that see, these are all the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is just about to begin, and he was really worrying about it. And also Yudhishthir Maharaj predicted that Kali Yuga is starting, or he could in fact see the symptoms of Kali Yuga coming up, like they have been predicted in this chapter. When he had sent Arjuna to Dwarka to find out about the well-being of Lord Krishna, and Arjuna had taken a long time to return, so Yudhishthir Maharaj in his kingdom was getting very worried that where is Arjuna, why has he not come back yet? And while he was waiting for Arjuna and he was worrying, he sees all bad omens or bad signs in his kingdom. So he sees that some wolves are howling. There is a big description in the first canto. And he sees that how husbands and wives have started quarreling, and how sons are not being obedient to their fathers. So these are some of the symptoms he sees. And then he predicts that I think Kali Yuga is about to begin. And he knew that till the time Lord Krishna is present in the planet, Kali Yuga cannot start. So although Kali Yuga was present, but it was not able to fully manifest its effects in the material world, because the Lord was personally present on the planet. So Kali Yuga was actually just waiting for, Kali personified, was actually just waiting for the Lord to leave the planet. And when Yudhishthir Maharaj saw all these symptoms, he understood that Arjuna is going to come with the news that the Lord has left the planet. And that is why I'm seeing all these things happening in the kingdom. So as soon as Arjuna came back, Arjuna gave him the news that Lord Krishna has actually wound up his pastimes and he has gone back to the spiritual world. And then Kali Yuga fully manifested its effects in the material world. So we see that why we see that because Kali Yuga started manifesting its effects in the material world, the qualities of people gradually went down. Like Yudhishthir Maharaj had seen that bad qualities started coming up. Sons were not obedient, wives were not respecting their husbands. They had started becoming unchaste. So all these bad qualities he started seeing in Kali Yuga people. And now Kali Yuga has progressed 5,000 years more. So I don't know how Yudhishthir Maharaj would have got a heart attack if he would have seen all the qualities of people of Kali Yuga right now. So we see that why Kali Yuga has, people have so much of bad qualities. And this is because Kali Yuga is the fourth age. The Satya Yuga was the first age, which was the golden age. Then came Treta Yuga, which was the silver age. And then Dwapar Yuga, which was known as the bronze age. And then Kali Yuga, which is called as the iron age. So Kali Yuga people are actually people who have failed to go back to Godhead in the Satya Yuga. Then they were given a chance in Treta Yuga, but they failed to go back to Godhead. Then they were again given a chance in Dwapar Yuga, but they have failed to go back, and now they are in Kali Yuga. So we can see how each Yuga they failed, and that is why they are present in Kali Yuga. And in Australia this system is not there, but in Indian education system we have this thing of pass and fail. So many times in our classrooms we see there are some very big, tall and hefty boys or children sitting. And that is because they have failed. Maybe they have failed 1 or 2 years. So the freshers who have come are looking really tiny and small and very fresh. But there are some boys who are sitting who are quite old and quite well built. And that is because they couldn't pass. They were there in the previous year, then the previous year, and now they are there in this year. So similarly, the people of Kali Yuga couldn't make it back to Godhead, and that is why they are present right now. So not only the qualities of people are deteriorating, but everything else as well. All good things are deteriorating in Kali Yuga. And bad things, people, if you go and talk to people, they will say that no, material world has made so much progress over the past few ages. The earlier ages were stone ages or iron age. People didn't have much. They were using stones and all that to survive. And they were tribal people and all. What you are saying, that things have deteriorated. We are progressing so nicely. But Prabhupada explains that it is not the these things, the material things we are talking about, or Bhagavatam is talking about, but it is all the good qualities of people and all the good things which a human being requires. So the first thing which has gone down is the age, ayur. We know the shloka from Bhagavatam, ayur balam smriti. Everything has going down, kale navalina rajan, because of the force of time. So nowadays if somebody crosses 100 years of age, that person's name will appear in the Guinness Book of World Records. But just a few years ago, we know the example of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who lived for 120 years. We know many sadhus who used to live for 120, 130 years. But in Kali Yuga, the average lifespan is reducing and reducing. And it is said, it's been said in the Bhagavatam, that people will, at the towards the end of Kali Yuga, people will maximum live for 20 to 30 years. And a 20 to 30 year old man will be considered a grand old man at the end of Kali Yuga. So age is something which is deteriorating, then balam or strength is definitely deteriorating. In fact, I had visited Mysore a few years ago, and there we have a museum, I think Tipu Sultan Museum or something like that. And over there they had kept certain, Tipu Sultan was like a ruler some years ago, some decades ago in India. So there they have kept big swords and the armors which all these rulers used to wear. And this was somewhere he was ruling around the 1800s or something like that. It's not that we are talking about some very bygone ages. And there are swords and armors kept, and if you try to lift that sword, at least now in the present age Kali Yuga, at least 2 or 3 people will be required to lift that one sword. And that armor is so heavy, if you put it on yourself you will collapse on the ground. But putting on such armors and using such swords, people used to fight even as early as this age, like 1900s or something like that. People used to fight. So we see that the strength, balam, is definitely reducing. And smriti, now memory is definitely reducing. We are seeing that how people's memories are going down. Even for a mobile number, we have to type it and we cannot remember. And sometimes if I ask someone their mobile number, they say, I don't know my mobile number, I'll have to check. Or I'll give you a missed call so that my number comes on your mobile. So this is how smriti is also going down. But I know even when we were young, or like our ancestors, our mothers or fathers were young and studying in schools, when calculators were not allowed, they were able to do so many mental calculations. But if you now ask people the square root of 25 or the square root of little bigger numbers, they will ask for a calculator. Or even for multiplying 2-digit numbers or something, people will ask for a calculator. So we see how memory and strength of the mind or intelligence is also going down. And we look at children also in Kali Yuga. Children also, we hear so many children are having depression nowadays. Now what is this big responsibility that children are taking, that they have depression? Or I hear of many children saying, oh, I have such a bad backache today. Now children, we are talking about. Even if we tell sometimes children to sit in the cross-legged position, no, my legs are paining, I have to sit on a chair. So we see how in children also it has started manifesting, the strength of the body is going down. And so all these good qualities are going down in people, and in Kali Yuga nature also does not cooperate. And that is why we are seeing so many natural calamities happening or catastrophes happening in the world. We had the recent earthquake in Christchurch, and we had the tsunami in Japan where so many thousands of people lost their lives. So nature has also stopped cooperating, people's qualities are also going down. And we see, and sometimes when we see all these things and all these predictions in Kali Yuga, which will come true, whatever hasn't come true till now, which will come true in the future, we feel that why is the Lord so cruel to the people of Kali Yuga? Why is it that He was so merciful in Satya Yuga and Treta Yuga and Dwapar Yuga? The earth used to produce sufficient food grains and everything was so good, people's qualities were good, nature used to cooperate, they used to have sufficient to eat, sufficient rainfall. But why is it that the Lord is so cruel to the people of Kali Yuga? And this can be explained by an example of a father giving pocket money to his children. So sometimes if the father will start out, okay, I'll give you $10 as pocket money. And then the father will keep the child under observation that how is this child spending the $10? And if the son is very nice, very obedient and a very good child, then he will spend the $10 nicely. Let's say he bought certain things which will be useful in his studies, or he bought certain things for his house, whatever. So the father will observe that he has spent the money nicely, in a responsible way. So then what will the father do? He will increase the pocket money next month. That, okay, I trusted you with $10 and I know that you are using it for a good cause. So okay, next month I'll give you $20. And like that, if the father keeps seeing that his child is not misusing whatever money he is giving, then the father will increase the allowance or the pocket money of the child. But on the other hand, if the child is a mischievous child or he is not an obedient child, and the father sees that he went and bought some cigarettes or he went and used it for alcohol or something like that, or some bad habits he started developing because the father had given him that pocket money, then the father will immediately next month reduce. He said, no, you didn't spend $10 nicely, so this month I'm giving you only $5. And then again, if the child has not learnt his lesson, then the father will again reduce the pocket money. And after some time, the father will stop giving him any pocket money. And he will say, no, I have to keep you under observation. And if your behavior improves, then only I'll give you pocket money. So in the same way, the people of Kali Yuga are like that mischievous child. So they are misusing the resources of nature. And we hear Prabhupada also saying that because people are drilling the earth like miles and miles into the depth of the earth to extract oil, and they are misusing all the nature's resources for their own sense gratification and not in the service of the Lord, we see that nature also does not respond then, and Krishna also doesn't respond. Krishna and the nature, like material nature, works under Krishna's direction. So he starts withdrawing everything, all the facilities from the people of Kali Yuga, because they are like that mischievous children who misuse their pocket money. So it is not that the Lord is cruel, but it is because the people are misusing the resources, and that is why all these things are being withdrawn by the Lord. And although so much misery is around, people are not ready to acknowledge. We see in this verse that although he is dying, he is about to leave his body, and if he just utters the name of the Supreme Lord, he will be free from all reactions to fruitive activities. But still the people of Kali Yuga will not take the name of the Supreme Lord. So they are suffering, they are in so much misery, but they don't acknowledge that there is misery going on. If misery has not come to them and it's happening to others, they don't acknowledge, they feel it will not come to us. And in fact, I am a personal example for that. When I was being preached to maybe 10 years ago or something like that, I used to argue with the devotees, because devotees, I attended 2 or 3 sessions, and in most of the sessions they say how material world is miserable. And I remember I used to argue, I said, why you ISKCON people are trying to prove to me that it's a miserable world? I don't think it's miserable. I'm very happy in this world. Why you all first want to prove to me and then give me a solution? When I don't need a solution, I'm happy already. So this is how the people in Kali Yuga are. They feel there is no misery there in the material world at all. And all these predictions, already the predictions are coming true. Few verses ago we saw that, yesterday Bhanu Maharaj in fact read that, how there will be continuously drought people will not have sufficient food grains. People will always be worried that there are going to be famines or there is not going to be sufficient rainfall. And we see that this is coming true. Because there is not sufficient rainfall, the prices of food are going up and up. But the price of technology, if you see, it's going down and down and down. Technology is improving, but the price of technology is reducing every day. But food grains, you will never see. A bag of potatoes was costing maybe a few dollars some years ago, but now the prices are increasing, even of a simple commodity like a potato. So we see that because there is not sufficient rainfall, people, food grains prices are going up. And such a similar incident had actually happened during Rishabhdev's time. Rishabhdev is an incarnation of the Lord, and we just studied about him in our Bhakti Vaibhav course. He appears in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Rishabhdev started ruling the kingdom, Indra got a bit envious of Rishabhdev because he was ruling the kingdom so nicely, and he is the supreme Lord, so he had so much opulences, all the opulences with him. And because Indra got envious, he stopped rainfall on Rishabhdev's kingdom. But Rishabhdev is the supreme Lord. He is not dependent on Indra for rainfall. And there it is explained that how Rishabhdev made rain come to his own kingdom without the assistance of Indra. And in that verse, in the purport, Prabhupada explains that we have to acknowledge that rain comes only by higher authorities. Indra is responsible for giving us rainfall. But people in Kali Yuga don't want to acknowledge that there is a higher force which is supplying all this rainfall and all the necessities which are required to survive in this world. And in that purport, Prabhupada says that it is the duty of every grahastha to do sankirtan in their house in the evening. The family should come together, and even for some time they should sit and do some sankirtan, because only by sankirtana yajna the demigods will be pleased, and then they will shower rainfall. But instead of coming together like this, we see the householders of Kali Yuga, even their qualities, we see the quality of marital relationships or the quality of relationship or love between husband and wife has totally gone away. Today's householders are, the attraction between them is just based on sex life. And in the same canto, Rishabhdev is teaching his sons. He gave very nice instructions to his sons. And he has also predicted, and he also has said this about attraction between male and female. He says, Tum pumsa sriya mithuni bhavam etam, tayor mitho hridaya granthi ahum. Ato griha kshetra sutapta vitter janasya mohoyam aham mameti. So Rishabhdev tells his sons that this whole material existence is based on the conception of attraction between a male and female. And because the knot between the male and female becomes so hard, people become steeped in the illusions of the material world, and they get more and more involved in the misconception of I and mine. And we see that, practically we see that in today's world, that the whole marital, first of all, marriages are hardly happening. There are more live-in relationships. In fact, I was reading in the newspaper some days ago that even in India, which is considered to be Punya Bhumi, or it is considered to be the land of the sages, live-in relationships have recently been sanctioned or have been given an okay by the Delhi High Court. So even in India, live-in relationships have become okay, and in the West, you know, it's very prevalent. So hardly people get married, and even the marital relationships are just based on sex. And as Bhagavatam had predicted in the last chapter, in chapter 2, that how the wife's family will be given more importance by the husband. The husband's family will lose all importance. Because the marriage is based on sex and the husband wants to keep the wife happy, then the wife's sisters, wife's brothers, all these people will have more importance in Kali Yuga. And I saw a practical example of this in my apartment building where we live. I have a neighbor, and I was speaking to her a few days ago. And she was telling me that she is going away on a holiday. She said, oh, we didn't have a good summer this time in Melbourne. It was raining all the time. So I want to experience a good summer. So I'm going away on holiday. I said, oh, really? Where to? She said, I'm going to Greek islands. And it's going to be nice there. It's just going to be 25-30. So not very hot, but it's really going to be good. And I know this, she's an old lady, she's almost 70-75, and her old husband also lives with her. So I said, oh, you and your husband are going? She said, no, I and my sister are going on a holiday. I said, oh, your husband's not coming? Because they have a dog. So she said, who'll look after my dog if my husband comes with me? So we see marital relationships have become like this. More importance is to the sister. The wife is going with the sister, but not with the husband, on a holiday to enjoy summer. And we see that because marital relationships have become like this, or there are no marriages almost happening, so the children that are also produced from such live-in relationships or such marriages, they don't have enough protection. Sometimes, you know, the man and woman unite and the woman has a child and then the man leaves the woman and goes away. So the children don't have much protection. And we see this so much in the news nowadays. I recently read that there is a 12-year-old girl who gave birth to a baby when she had gone on a camp. And she didn't even realize she was pregnant. And now the police are trying to investigate and they have found that the girl's father is the father of the child as well. So such a 12-year-old girl has been abused by the father. So we see that there will be no protection because the father was not, you know, it's not that out of so much respect for the girl's mother that he had married or he had a relationship. So he even saw the daughter as just an object for his sense gratification. And children who are produced from such marriages or such living relationships will also be Varnashankara, as Bhagavad Gita says. And they will also not respect their parents, or they will also not have much love or affection for their parents. And again, I had read in the news, there was a 17-year-old girl in the US. She went to buy a car from a dealer. And I think the legal age where you can sign your own documents and buy a car in the US was 18. So the car dealer told her that, no, you have to bring your guardian, you have to bring your mother or whoever is your guardian to sign the documents. Then only you can buy the car. And this girl went to the mother, and I think the mother didn't want her to buy the car at that point in time, because the mother will obviously foresee that maybe the girl will not utilize it properly, maybe she was worried about her safety or whatever. And this girl actually took a gun and she hit the mother with the back of the gun. And she hit her so badly, she dragged her to the car and she took her to the dealer and made her sign the documents. Just because she wanted a car. And when the police started investigating, the mother is, whatever it is, a mother's, Prabhupada says the closest you can come to the love in the spiritual world is between a mother and child. So the mother did not want to press charges against this girl. So the mother told the police that, no, I don't want to press charges against my daughter, because she just got admission into an Ivy League school. Now these Ivy League schools are very prestigious schools, maybe something like Melbourne High or Mark Robertson in Melbourne. So she had just got admission to a very prestigious school. But look at the qualities and look at the character. So like, you know, we just read a few minutes ago that all spiritual things or all good things will go down. People will make material progress. They may have material intelligence. They may get into Ivy League schools. But look at the character. She is hitting her own mother just to buy a car. So people will just become Dvipada Pashu. It has been predicted in the Bhagavatam. Dvipada Pashu means two-legged animals. Because they don't have any goal in their life. The goal is just sense gratification. Husband, wife not living together properly or not marrying at all. Just producing children, not giving protection to their children. And children also because of that becoming Varnashankara. So we see that human population is just becoming Dvipada Pashu. And everybody in life, if you ask somebody what is the goal of your life in Kali Yuga, they will just say two things, money and sex. These are the only two things which have become the goal in Kali Yuga. And we see in Rishabhdev's pastimes again, he is telling his sons during his teachings to his sons, he says that the whole material world will be based on money and sex. And people who associate with such people who are fond of money and sex, for them, the doors, samodvaram, for them the doors of hell are wide open. So this is how the goal, this is where the human civilization is leading to in Kali Yuga. Instead of going back to Godhead, they are just falling down and down towards hellish planets. And they will work so hard for money, just to make money, make money, make money, make money, and they don't realize that at the end of life, everything is going to be taken away by death, as we are seeing in this verse. That how a man is about to die and he is still not taking the name of Lord. So because there is no sublime goal in their life, they just keep working hard. Like we see honeybees, for example. Honeybees work hard day and night. They go from flower to flower and they keep collecting honey. And with great difficulty they make a nice honeycomb. But then what happens? The farmer comes with a torch and he puts a powerful light. He drives like a flame and he drives away all the honeybees and then he takes the honeycomb and goes away. So similarly, it's going to happen to everybody who's just spending their lives working hard, hard, hard for material improvement or material progress. But Yamaraj will come in the form of that farmer and he will show the flame of death. And what will happen? At death, everything will be taken away from them, like the honeycomb was taken away by the farmer. So what was the use of working hard just for money and sex? And then we see Srimad Bhagavatam is continuously telling us about all these problems. At least in this canto we are seeing continuously Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us what are the problems which people in Kali Yuga will face. And sometimes when we read so much, we feel that why is Srimad Bhagavatam talking so much about just problems, problems, problems? And is the purpose to scare us? And actually we become a bit scared when we read about all the predictions of Srimad Bhagavatam. But the real purpose is not to scare us, but the real purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam telling all this is to warn us that already whatever has been predicted in the pages is coming true, and that means whatever else has not come true will definitely come true in the future. So this helps us, it is mainly to help us to develop a healthy sense of detachment from this material world. Because if the Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't warn us about the perils of this material world, we will never develop that attraction of going back to Godhead and giving up this material world, which is as it is Dukhalaya Mashaswatam. And also one more purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam telling all these problems about Kali Yuga is so that our faith increases in the Bhagavatam. Especially when I was reading all this, I thought this has been written, spoken 5000 years ago. But now everything is coming true. It's not that things have not started happening, which have been predicted in the Bhagavatam. So our faith in the Bhagavatam goes up, that yes, whatever the Bhagavatam is saying is not just mythology, it is actually coming true. So it increases our faith also. And the Bhagavatam just doesn't present problems, but it gives us the solution as well. That okay, so many problems are there, and I think just 4 or 5 verses down, the famous verse is going to come. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti eko mahan guna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangam param brajet. So Bhagavatam is giving the solution that although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, it is full of faults, it is full of bad qualities, but there is one glorious quality which Kali Yuga has, and that is that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, simply by doing kirtan of the Lord, one can easily go back to Godhead. So Bhagavatam is part of the solution as well. It's giving us the solution as well. And we see that the Mahamantra is so potent, as we are seeing in this verse, that if a person just chants the name of the Lord, then he can actually be freed from all the fruitive reactions. So Mahamantra is not potent only in Kali Yuga. Mahamantra was potent in every age. Even in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga and Dwapar Yuga, Mahamantra was equally potent. It's not that, you know, only in Kali Yuga if you chant the Mahamantra you can go back to Godhead. But in the previous ages, people were used to so much austerities. So that is why they were not able to adopt this easy process of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. They found it to be too easy. In fact, I heard in a lecture, it was said that the sages, when, you know, they hear about the Mahamantra, they feel they can fast or they can do austerities for 10,000 years, 20,000 years. Like we see all the, in the pastimes, we see how Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, they all did austerities. Or the Prachetas, 10,000 years they were under the water and doing austerities. So people in those ages were used to doing austerities for such a long time. And for them, this chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra was a very simple thing. They thought, oh, how can someone go back to Godhead with such a simple thing? And the next reason is that why the Mahamantra was not so much utilized in the previous ages was also because there was not much desperation. Now, if somebody in Satya Yuga or Treta Yuga started chanting the Mahamantra, they are not very desperate. The atmosphere around is so good because nature was cooperating and everything was like, you know, lush green fields and there was sufficient food grains. There was not much, like we see right now, so many qualities have gone down and so many miseries in the world. It wasn't so bad at that time. So the real desperation is there in Kali Yuga, and that is why, like when we see some person is sick, then the medicine acts very fast because that person is sick. But if a same good person who is not diseased takes medicine, then what is the effect on that person of the medicine? So similarly in Kali Yuga, because there is so much misery and people are so miserable and suffering because of so many things happening around, that is why the Mahamantra has so much effect, because they are desperate to get out of this material world. And we see that is why Kali Yuga is glorified. In fact, in the 11th canto, in the 5th chapter, verse 36 and 38, it is said that very highly learned sages and knowledgeable people, they appreciate the essential value of Kali Yuga. And because in a short time, the highest goal is achieved in Kali Yuga. That simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, people can go back to Godhead. So Kali Yuga is actually glorified. Kali Yuga was appreciated by the people of Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga and Dwapar Yuga. And further it is said in the same chapter that many demigods and many sages of Satya Yuga and the earlier ages, they desire to take birth in Kali Yuga. Because they know the lifespan is short, first of all. So in a short time, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, they will achieve the highest perfection of your life. They will achieve the highest goal of your life. So people first of all worship Kali Yuga, they glorify Kali Yuga, and not only worship and glorify, they are very eager to take birth in Kali Yuga. And they are very eager, it is said, to associate with the devotees of Kali Yuga. This is from the chapter where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent has been predicted, that how he will come, the golden avatar will come to spread the Sankirtana Yajna. So there it is said that demigods, everybody is desiring to come to the material world or on the earth planet during Kali Yuga, so they can associate with the devotees of the Lord and they can also chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So we see that so much of, you know, we have been reading continuously how Kali Yuga is bad, Kali Yuga is bad, how so many problems will be there in Kali Yuga, how people who are dying will still not chant the holy names of the Lord. So many problems we are seeing in Kali Yuga, but we should not become despondent by all this. We should make the best use of the bad bargain that has been given to us. So Kali Yuga is a bad bargain, but we can make best use of this bad bargain because we are very fortunate to have this simple method of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and go back to Godhead. So if we adopt this easy process of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which I said over here, general people of Kali Yuga will not adopt. But we are fortunate to be in the association of devotees. By Prabhupada's mercy, we have come into this moment and we have been given the highest goal. We have been shown what is the highest goal of life. And we have been given the method to achieve that highest goal. So we can make best use of this bad bargain and perfect our lives in this short lifetime in Kali Yuga and go back to Godhead by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. We'll end here and we'll ask if there are any questions or comments.
First of all, your question is very good. And you have told so many things in the nature. You have told us. I remember when you came out of memory, I remember my friend who was in the nature that his mother is only 60. Living in India, certainly. And yet, he has lost many families in this. He knows so many things in that. She can't even recognize children. When the children go from overseas, grandchildren, she doesn't know anybody. So you can see what will happen. You can see already.
Even at such a young age as 16.
Versus mother and share. And you have to remember Prabhupada's mercy. And you have to chant very nicely. And we have to, when we are chanting, we have to really think of Krishna with attachment. Prabhupada says in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you have to have attachment to holy name, then only you can chant nicely. Otherwise, chanting is the most difficult thing. Easy to say, chanting, the mind goes like, you know, I was hearing this in one lecture, that is the cloud, which is in the sea. Every time the cloud, there. Mind is heavy, but all the body. Now you are here, you are in Canada, and you are in Japan, and you are in. So, if you can take all the things that possible, you have to learn.
Thank you.
Can you tell us something about how you can do things?
You are asking the wrong person, bro. I am also facing the same problem, but. Especially attending Keshav Prabhu's Bhakti Vaibhav classes really helped me to focus on the chanting, because he keeps telling in every chapter that he teaches us, he keeps telling us about the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and the Japa retreat is coming up, so that is a good opportunity to improve chanting. It's after 2 weeks.
How dumb person can chant? The person who wants?
How a?
Dumb
person.
How easy?
I had read this in a lecture transcript. Some Maharaj had given that lecture, and they had said there was, in fact, in Back to Godhead there was an article. I think Urmila Mataji, you know, Prabhupada's disciple, she had visited a school about a school of the deaf and dumb children. And by sign languages, there is one devotee who is doing this service, that by sign languages he has gone and taught the children how to say the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So by sign languages they are trying. Because they can't even hear, they can't even speak. So how will they come, how will they appreciate, or how will they able to even hear what they have to do? So it is by sign. There was a very nice article a few Back to Godhead magazines ago. And there they had shown that how in this school children were taught to do by sign languages. And they were taught by using their eyes, they were continuously taught how to see the Mahamantra and...
Even blind?
Yeah, yes, by the Bailey method. Thank you so much. Any other comments or questions? Actually, it's a very important point, and when we are talking about money and sex, or when we see Rishabhdev also mentioning this, if you read the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev to his sons in the 5th chapter of the 5th canto, he says that people who are, he explains that how the whole human civilization in the present day is just working hard like hogs and dogs for sense enjoyment, and that is available even to the stool eating hogs, he says. So he says the purpose of human form of life is not just to spend time in working endlessly and that too just for sense gratification, he says. And he explains that how human form of life is meant for tapodivyam, or for doing transcendental austerity. So we see that when he is talking about, you know, people are working hard day and night, he is explicitly mentioning that for sense gratification. So when we talk about money and being addicted to bad habits like illicit sex or something like that, we are talking about money required for sense gratification. And that is what is being meant by, you know, tamodvaram, the doors to hell are open for people who are too fond of associating with people who are attached to money and sex. So there is a context in which this is being used. Now, we know the example of a knife. If a knife is given to a criminal, he will misuse that knife to murder people and all. But the same knife in the hands of a doctor can be used for curing people of their diseases, like removing tumors, or the doctor will put it to a good use. So similarly, money, we say money is the root cause of all evil. But actually money is not the root cause of all evil. It's the misuse of money that is the root cause of all evil. So we see that, you know, when we talk about not spending time in sense in earning money, we are not talking about earning money for keeping the body and soul together. Because that has to be done. And it has been said in Kali, in Bhagavatam, that a person will be considered cultured and very well-mannered if he has money. So that is becoming the norm in Kali Yuga. That person who has money will be well-respected in society. And we see that also. Not a sadhu who speaks very knowledgeable words and all, but only money persons are respected and they are considered to be cultured. Actually, they may not even have any culture. So when we are talking about money, we are talking about such people who are utilizing money just for sense gratification. But when we talk about us, when we are working, or, you know, all grahastha especially, like everybody goes to work because they have to look after their wife, they have to look after their children. Or even as students, you all have to earn money to pay your rents to live near the temple. And we know rents near the temple are quite expensive. So you have to work hard. But it's the whole point is about the motive or the goal with which you are doing that work. So I remember just a few days ago, one grahastha couple had come to us for advice on financial planning and how they should spend their money and what. So in many of our Bhakti Vruksha programs and all, we come across these problems where we actually tell them that no, you must save money so that you can continue living near the temple. And you must work hard. So if the goal is clear that we are earning money to keep our body and soul together, or we are earning money so that we can live near the temple, we can afford the high rents near the temple, then it is that money is not binding in the material world. So it's the Yukta Vairagya principle over here, that whether you are using the money for your own sense gratification, or whether you are using the money keeping a long, maybe immediately you may not be even giving that money to for Krishna service, but you are in your long term, you have that goal that you want to get established, like get your PR and get established in Australia so that you can take association of devotees and take advantage of this good temple which is there. So with a long term goal, if you are earning money right now and at the present moment you are not able to contribute so much to the temple in terms of money, then that is not a problem, because in the future when you settle down nicely and then you can start contributing. So we are not talking about money in terms of, you know, earning to be here or to keep the long term goal of being in association of devotees in mind. That is in fact a glorious activity. At least not me.
So it's very difficult sometimes to even comprehend that, you know, how to deal with this problem, because apparently we are facing the problem, you know, so much. Every day there is that, job issues, tax issues, and PR issues, and studying issues, and sadhana issues. So how do we deal with that, you know?
So yesterday Bhanu Maharaj was giving a seminar on the nectar of devotion, and he was explaining about the six characteristics of devotional service. And the first characteristic of devotional service is kleshagni, which is relief from material distress. So we see that the nectar of devotion is promising that it will give us relief from material distress, but as devotees, sometimes devotees are facing more problems. Then sometimes we say devotees are facing more problems, and many times I've heard people asking this question, that those meat eaters and, you know, gamblers, people who are drinking alcohol, they don't face so many problems in their lives, but devotees who are struggling to be Krishna conscious, sometimes they face so much problem to get a job or to establish themselves, or health issues. Many devotees are having health issues, many devotees are not getting jobs. So one characteristic we see that devotional service brings kleshagni, or relief from material distress. So here the relief from material distress is not actually talking about wiping the distress away from the life of a devotee. And the example can be given of, you must have heard this example many times, Prabhupada gives this example, that when a room is full of dust and you open the room and all the dust has settled since years and years and years, and you start wiping that dust off, what will happen initially? All that dust will rise and you will feel that the room has become more messy right now. Till the time the dust was nicely settled everywhere, it was not looking so bad. But the moment you start wiping the dust, you will start coughing, the dust will start going, and you will suffer miserably because there is so much of dust and you are trying to wipe that dust off. So similarly in devotee's life, when we start chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we have started cleaning our heart. And that is the time when all the anarthas start coming out. And we see some, even in fact in my own life I see that earlier we were totally ignorant. Prahladananda Maharaj was saying once that when we start chanting and when we became devotees, we even realized that we had a mind. Before that we didn't even know we had a mind. So because we realize we have a mind, we see so many problems, mind is restless, this, that, but before we never used to talk mind is restless, because that realization itself was not there, that there is a mind. So we see that all these problems start coming up because we have started chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And I heard in Keshav Prabhu's class, I think, in one of the Bhagavatam cantos, that sometimes Krishna intervenes and he wants to expedite the devotee's devotional life very fast. So sometimes whatever karma were to come in the future, he will start giving the devotee now, so that the devotee exhausts whatever bad karmic reactions were there, and then his slate is clean, or that room is clean, and then he can take full benefit of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So sometimes the Lord himself is intervening. Plus, because we have started dusting the room, we will see that these anarthas we see are rising in the heart, and we observe that all these things are coming up in my life. And also when the Nectar of Devotion is talking about relief from material distress, it is not, as I said, it's not talking about wiping away your distress. As I said, sometimes Krishna intervenes and you will get more distress because Krishna wants you to go through the process fast. But it talks about your resilience to the material distresses that come in your life. So what devotional service does is it increases our tolerance. Because we are in the material world, we are going to suffer reactions for our past material life. Whatever has happened, I know devotional service burns out all your karma, but whatever is already manifest or the power of the karma, you have to suffer that in your life. But when we talk about relief from material distress, we are talking about a devotee's ability to tolerate these material distresses in life. That is what is being talked about. So we may face problems in our life, we may go through all these trials and tribulations of not settling down, not getting a job, health not cooperating. So all these things will come in the life, but what is the reaction of a materialist as to compared to a devotee? A devotee will have more tolerance. A devotee will see every situation as a gift of the Lord, that what I can learn from this situation. And you must have read Radhanath Maharaj's Journey Home book. In that he faces so many tribulations, but he always sees what he should learn from the whatever situation has come in his life. So whatever situation we come in our life, it increases our tolerance to that situation. Plus it gives us, the Bhagavatam gives us that knowledge that how I can see why the situation has come in my life, why Krishna is putting me through it, what is the lesson I can learn from this situation. That is what is my realization.
What Mataji is saying, some of these more concentrating his faith, stronger faith, and try to get initiation at least from Guru, if he wants to. Two things important: strong faith and initiation with one of my spiritual masters. That is high enough for me.
It's already time. We'll end the class here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.